This week on Potlatch, Mitch Dementoff of Nenana, Andrew Souders of Clear, and Chris Anderson of Fairbanks testify on subsistence. Buffy St. Marie. On October 5th, Democratic Representatives Nels Anderson of Dillingham and Steve Cooper of Fairbanks traveled to Nenana to hear testimony on priorities for subsistence hunting legislation in Alaska. Many game animals, like moose and caribou, are becoming scarcer each year. No longer is there enough to go around, so how should the state determine who can and can't hunt? On this week's Potlatch program and next week's, we'll hear ideas from those who testified at Nenana. First, Mitch Dementoff.
I don't know realistically of the feasibility of the state of Alaska or the Congress defining subsistence. It's a funny thing, but I think that it's a very conscientious thing at the same time. Let me speak for myself personally. Last year, I didn't go to work until November, I think, of last year. And during that time, I was very heavily involved with subsistence activities. I got my share of moose, my share of fish, and up until the time that I went to work in November of 76. And I worked through August of 76. And during that period of time, I didn't hardly catch any fish to speak of. Just, you know, what I could working full-time in Fairbanks, you know, 60 miles away, and barely enough to feed dogs. And I was mostly feeding commercial feed at that time, which having a job I could afford and did. During that time, I harvested no meat whatsoever, no moose meat, no caribou, no bear, no nothing. And the only subsistence foods that I had during that time were what other people essentially gave me from their activities. During August of this year, I left my place of employment in Fairbanks, returned to Nenana, and immediately began fishing and, you know, getting meat and everything of that nature. So I think that, you know, that if you're to define a subsistence person, that for my case and personally, it'd be difficult to do because of the fact that I'm capable of going away if I should choose to go away to seek employment. That's a very hard thing for myself personally to do, since who the hell wants to leave home to go anywhere to have to go to work? You shouldn't have to leave home to go to work. When I am just as capable of earning a living at home here, and essentially that's what I do when I'm home. I harvest subsistence. As a whole, the people in Nenana have a less dependency on subsistence than does say somebody in Huslia or somewhere in the more remote areas of Alaska. But that does not mean that we're not dependent on subsistence. A great number of our people here work seasonally, and a significant number of us are not able to gain employment at all. And thus, those people that do have the need to live a subsistence lifestyle are very dependent on, as dependent on a subsistence lifestyle as anybody in Alaska. One of the things that we're most concerned about is with respect to fishing. Right now, today, we have reached our subsistence egg quota, which I understand is set by the legislature, and therefore people in Nenana are deprived of a source of income. Now, I think that in some parts of the state, and I don't want to address myself to that, that at all too much, but in some parts of the state, I have heard that there is some waste of salmon, people catching salmon, taking the eggs out and throwing the salmon away. I don't know if there's any, you know, truth to that kind of a rumor or not, but I have heard stories. But, you know, until I see something for myself, and I've never seen anything like that happen, I just, you know, don't pay any attention to it. But even if it does happen in other areas, it does not happen on the Tanana River. We in Nenana, we haven't seen it happen here. We just don't do that. Those people who fish, some people have stopped fishing for now. They've gotten the fish that they need. They pull up their wheel. I doubt that it has anything to do with us reaching our salmon roe quota. I'm not sure the poundage or anything else, but I just know we have reached our quota. Right now, today, I'm fishing yet. I still have a wheel turning in the river. I'm catching eggs, and those eggs are going into the dog pot. My price this fall was $2.50 a pound for those eggs, money that I could use in support of my, you know, going out and harvesting with fish. And we do run into significant expenses. Outboard motors are up near $1,500. River boats are about the same price. Cost of gas is, you know, out of sight. So is oil and all the different little breakdowns you have. Everything else that you got to have a cable. You got to have this. You got to have that in support of your fishing operation. I got a smokehouse down here that I can't afford to put roofing on. You just need a million things to gather these fish, and it takes a certain amount of money to go out and be able to get those fish in. And I think it very tragic that we would have this opportunity to have an income from those fish while we're catching them and keeping the fish for our own use for subsistence purposes. And I think it very tragic that we'd be deprived of that source of income. Now, like I say, I've heard that it's some people waste, but we just haven't seen that around here at all, and I don't think that we'd ever see that. If the limit for subsistence roe was taken off, I don't think we'd ever see anybody fishing just for the eggs and throwing the fish away. It just won't happen. Death is a great, great concern among people who are fishing in Indiana. I think that when it comes down to subsistence hunting, it's a damn hard problem for us to deal with here in Indiana. We're so close to Fairbanks. You drove yourself down today. You know how close it is. It's not much farther by river. Airplane is just 20 minutes over the hill, you know. And we've been impacted heavily in the past 10 to 15 years. The number of moose is really down. Bears were up this year. Quite a few people got bears. But there aren't but maybe two or three people in the whole community that managed to get a moose. And I think that this kind of a thing is really, really hurt us heavily. Now, part of the problem, I think, is that it also comes with fishing. You know, the same time you're hunting, you're going to be fishing. September 1 through the 10th was our season this year, and you know, it just happens to be, you know, when the fish were here as well, and you know, you can't, fishing is a full-time job by itself, and so is hunting. You can't hunt from town anymore. There was a time when you could jump in your car and take a ride out in a clear area towards Healy and you know, go out in the morning and evening after work, or after you take care of fish, or and before you take care of fish or whatever, and you'd have a very good chance of getting running into a moose. There moose were plentiful here 10, 15 years ago. But now your chances of doing that are really astronomical with the amount of traffic, with the new parks highway system. It's just damn near impossible to get a moose using that kind of hunting. So either you've got to go out and go hunting to get a moose, and even if you do, your competition is so overwhelming that you know, there's virtually, when you get down to the prime hunting areas, say on Tolvana River, that area, there's virtually a hunting camp on every bend in the river. And Tolvana River has a lot of bends. And, you know, you got airboats zipping through inches of water, you know, and airplanes zipping around. I think they had an airplane collision down here in Minto this fall, this hunting season. Somebody was out hunting and they ran into a charter outfit, I think, over near Minto somewhere. And I understand down the Novi River, two hunting boats collided. You know, it's busy. You know, they ought to have turn signals or something if they're going to, you know, traffic lights on the rivers if it's going to be that great. We chuckle about it, but it is no laughing matter. It's a very serious matter for us because of the fact that, you know, now we're faced you know, with a few fish to get through the winter, but no meat. What kind of situation is that going to cause? 10, 15 years ago, just about everybody got a moose. Now, hardly anybody is getting a moose. It's just about turned around completely. I know that the legislature and different people around, decision-making people that have authority to make decisions in Juneau and in Washington are heavily pressured to provide opportunities for sports hunters and things of this nature. Well, we've seen our share of that. You know, there's no reason for me to run through all the stories of people coming out with just horns and that sort of thing. It would be really unrealistic for us to take a position that, well, subsistence is the only form that game should be allowed to be taken in Alaska. If there are people in Fairbanks or Anchorage who are dependent on subsistence for their lifestyle, they ought to have the same opportunities as somebody in the most remotest parts of the state. But I think that it's important that the legislature seriously consider prioritizing in some manner, and I have no suggestions to offer, that subsistence activities be the number one priority in the taking of a limited resource, you know, the game and the fish in the state of Alaska. Right now, this is the first year after commercial season, after the commercial fishing season closed, of which I think we got 5 or 6 days this year, we were limited on our subsistence fishing to 5 days a week. It's the first year, and frankly, it was a surprise to me when after commercial closed, and then I was fishing my wheel, and then Saturday, 6 o'clock, everybody's heading out to close down their wheel, and what's going on? You know, what are you guys closing down your wheels for? Everybody says, well, you know, we got to close down. We're only fishing subsistence 5 days a week. That was a very big surprise to me because, you know, I just never lived with that before. We've always fished subsistence 7 days a week. We're just getting run out of our lifestyle around here, and I think that whatever the legislature does, they ought to prioritize those people who truly depend on subsistence.
That spring and the snow is a melting. That warm midnight sun starts to shine. And everyone's going upriver to celebrate spring hunting time. So boil up some tea and save the place for me. The old folks ain't felt so good all winter. Their aches and their pains are all gone. And they thank the Lord for living through the winter to celebrate with all the young. So boil up some tea and save a place for me. Now we'll dig out the rusty old kicker and we'll tank her with her till she runs. A new one would be a whole lot quicker, but it wouldn't be half as much fun. So boil up some tea and save a place for me. We're gone till the breakup is over, till the wild geese come dark in the sky. We'll just sit by that fire and tell stories and kind of get naturally high. So boil up some tea, save a place for me. Well, there ain't no comparable feeling than to head in a river in spring. We're pilgrims making our first journey just to worship the land and to sing. So boil up some tea and save a place for me. Spring and the snow is a melting. That warm midnight sun starts to shine. Now everyone's going upriver to celebrate spring hunting time. So boil up some tea and save a place for me.
That was from Canada, Ted Wesley. The testimony we hear next answers to some extent that by Mitch Dementoff.
I'm Andrew Souders from Clear. I've been in the estate approximately 12 years, and I would be considered a sport hunter normally. What subsistence hunting and fishing there is to my mind should be on an income determination. I don't see anyone earning $30,000-$40,000 a year being allowed any subsistence rights, regardless of their race or whatever. I don't think too many people would argue with that. But as far as the sport hunting, the local sportsman's club at Clear had petitioned to Fish and Game back in 1970 or 72 to close the cow season in the area and to restrict hunting within a mile of the road to try and preserve our moose population. So it is not necessarily a sport hunting that has eliminated the moose in the area. It's a good bit of it mismanagement by Fish and Game. Admit the state's large enough, they don't have enough people and can't afford enough people to properly monitor the whole state. But they should pay attention to local inputs. Our club had sent several people down to Juneau to testify. Their testimony was ignored completely. Regulations were written to pretty well favor one particular guide from Fairbanks, and I don't want to see the sport hunting take all the blame, as it isn't really the sport hunting. That most of the sport hunters will bring out every bit of meat that they can carry, and it is usable. They may also bring their horn out, or a rack, or whatever. But they will, like I said, in general, bring out, and they should. I would go along definitely with prosecuting heavily anyone who wastes any meat.
Nels Anderson asked Souders about the role of the State Department of Fish and Game in regulating hunting.
To a great extent, they've been late on all their regulations on restricting the hunting. They've done it with the caribou herd. They've done it with the moose.
Nels Anderson asked why.
I think a good bit of it is the size of the state and the personnel they have and the budget they have. And also, I think a good bit of it is that there's too much political influence. For the size of the state, I don't see how they could economically afford to get enough coverage on the proper game management without taking local inputs and paying attention to them.
Steve Cooper asked who should get hunting priority.
That is a rather tough question. My personal leanings would be, if it has to be restricted, to give the people in the immediate area a preference.
Music of Doc Watson. Next, Chris Anderson quoting a newspaper article by a nutrition expert on the relationship between subsistence hunting and nutrition.
It is very possible for subsistence users or people that live in the rural areas that do eat caribou and live off the marine mammals and things of this sort, to have a very good diet, very nutritious diet. And if something happens where they do have to change their diet, buy hamburgers, Big Macs, or whatever type of thing, you know, that could be very damaging to their metabolism.
Music from Paul Simon's album, and this is Jeff Kennedy. Thanks for listening.
Potlatch came to you from KUAC in Fairbanks. The Corporation for Public Broadcasting gave some of the money to produce this program.